It's been a whirlwind couple weeks. My beautiful wife, Mona, is not here because I just did the first time I've ever done this. I married my nephew under a tent up in Kapolei or Makakilo. It was so cool. So Mona's still doing her thing up there with the family, and I came over here. I did the pule, the prayer for the food, said, okay, eat without me, and then I came. We've been in California for about 2.5 weeks. Small little commercial, because I want your hearts to move, and I want the Spirit to touch you and to remember this. We have keiki here on our islands that need your prayer, that need your love. And all things possible, we're on the mainland ministering with Victor Marks and Eileen Marks, and that's what we do. We go into youth lockup facilities, and we bring the love of Christ. And we've been working at the Kapolei new facility. A lot of people don't even know it's there. It's right across the street from Costco. Tall courthouse building, beautiful level building, but it's a high-tech prison for youth. And we've been going on there 3 years. We've been going there. August will be 3 years. We've spoken to over 600 kids, and we've been blessed to network with organizations like Bake a Blessing, where they bake birthday cakes, and we get to take them in. I've brought bands in, and we've done food, and Mike Valoria has brought his Illusions for Christ in, and they've been so blessed. We have brothers from Maui fly in and bring Christmas gifts during Christmas. And it's been such a blessing. We don't need money. You know, that's not what I'm shooting right here. But I need your prayers. We need your prayers for our kids, for the next generation of people in our Aina. Amen. And we have a sign up in the info booth. If you want to be in our prayer chain, my wife does a beautiful newsletter. She puts it out once a week. And just put your first, last name, and your email address, and then we'll hook you up. And we're on Facebook, ATP Hawaii, my wife does it. But we have a fan page. Did I say that correct for all the techies? I said that correct? Okay. And so you can see us on there, and we get more in tune to what we're doing on a weekly basis with pictures and stuff. All right. Well, tonight, such a privilege and blessing to come in my own congregation, and my pastor letting me speak the word of God to you. And I was just praying about what am I going to share with you when I was in Cali. And I just finished the book of Job in the Home Fellowship of Mililani. And one of the things that was pounded into my spirit was, God has not made us to understand all things, but he's made us to trust in all things, him in all things. And so with that in mind, I wanted to share with you on a topic that I think we all have common grounds with. And I've entitled tonight's teaching, Success Via the Hallways of Our Failures. And I know we all have failures. And if you're not being attacked, I want to talk to you after when I'm up here and praying for you, okay? Because there's a reason the devil not attacking you. I want to open tonight with something I read from Billy Graham, and Billy Graham entitled Trust and Obey. And he wrote this. I'm going to see if I can handle all my spectacles. He said, some years ago, someone gave my little boy a dollar. He brought it to me and said, Daddy, keep this for me. But in a few minutes, he came back and said, Daddy, I better keep my own dollar. And he tucked it in his little pocket and went out to play. And in a few minutes, he came back with tears in his eyes, saying, Daddy, I lost my dollar. Help me find it. And how often, Billy Graham says, how often we commit our burdens to the Lord and we fail to trust him by taking matters into our own hands. Then we have messed things up. We look up and we pray and we say, Lord, help me. I'm in trouble. The choice is yours. Do you want to trust your life in God's pocket or keep it in your own? The Bible promises this. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Psalm 40, verse 4. I really love that, Billy Graham's perspective about trusting God. How do we have success via the hallways of our failures? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew, the 14th chapter. This, I'm going to need my spectacles. Matthew chapter 14, we'll be going through verses 25 through 33. 25 through 33. Now, let me give you a synopsis of this great chapter. Jesus has just come down from the mountain feeding 5,000, and they just counted men. There's women and children there, so a multitude. He comes down from the mountain, and he tells his disciples, get into the boat and go across, because he wants to go up and pray. And as he goes up into the lonely place to pray, his disciples go across the Sea of Galilee, which is a beautiful place. Those of us who've been to Israel, we know it's a beautiful place. In fact, our last trip, a couple of months in November, we went and we saw the changes of the sea. Beautiful, and then like in a blink of an eye, a storm hit. It was unbelievable, the waves and the lightning and the downpour of rain. And so you get this picture of Jesus on the mountain, the boat going across in early morning hours, and then a storm hits. And I think we're familiar with the story of Peter, and that's where we get this in Matthew's rendition of the gospel. Father, we thank you for your word, and I just pray, God, that you get me out of the way, that you bless your word, that you fill us with your spirit, that we might make sense of it, God, that we'd be able to apply it with the struggles we have in our own lives, that you might just fill us so we can be overcomers for the sake of Christ. And we'd be sure to give you all praise and glory, because only you are worthy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 14, verse 25. It says, in the fourth watch of night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. One of my heroes. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Verse 29, Jesus, he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Wow. What an encouraging episode that Matthew gives us. And when we look at the first couple of verses, 25 and 27, we see that this was early morning hours, that they were exhausted. Probably the fourth watch is 0300 or 3 in the morning to when the sun comes up, usually 0600 or 6 in the morning. That's the fourth watch. So they were tired and they're paddling, and then all of a sudden a storm hits. And I know that is true. It could happen in a blink of an eye. And I want you to notice that in the midst of this storm, the disciples, they don't even recognize Christ. And I'm thinking, how can you not recognize Jesus, you know? I mean, was he that common looking? But then, I don't know if I would recognize him. Can you imagine you're in a storm and this dude come walking on water? I don't know. I don't know about you, but I would be tripping. I'll be like, whoa, who is this thing walking on water? And so the Bible tells us that they begin to be afraid. Fear can be a strong emotion, can't it? It can put seeds of doubt. It can skew our vision, our logic. It can just mess us up when we're scared. And we give over to it. And so the disciples, the Bible tells us, they don't recognize him. Yet, I love this about Christ. This is so, so consistent of his character. Look what he does. He calms them. He says, do not be afraid, it is I. My loved ones, let me just tell you this. If Jesus is in the midst of your storm, one of the things you're going to know that he's there with you is he's going to give you that peace beyond all understanding that the world doesn't know. Only you and I can understand that. And that's so consistent with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he brings that calm episode because he understood that they needed comfort. Why? Because they probably thought he was a ghost. Wouldn't you and I think that? Can you imagine somebody walking across like Waimea Bay on the water, from one point to the other? What are you going to think about that? And the Sea of Galilee is much larger than that. And Jesus coming down from the mountain, I'm sure he's looking, oh, my brother's in trouble. He comes down and he starts walking, and they're thinking he's a ghost. And he says his words of comfort to them. Hey, I'm not a ghost. Knowing that this fear is a real episode that all of us experience, but we must put it away. I remember, and I don't know where I got the statistic from, but I remembered reading a couple of years ago that 90% of the things that human beings worry about never come to pass. I read that, and I was like, what? I wasted my energy. 90% of the things that you and I worry about never come to pass. But we worry, don't we? We worry about everything. Everything we can think of, we worry about. And yet, Jesus wants to comfort us tonight. Many times our problems is not as big and bad as we think they are. And we overblow it, we exaggerate it, and it starts to overcome us. But we should always remember there is a solution. Always. Always. And we have the greatest of helper with us. Paul encouraged us. He says, no matter what you're in, God always gives you a way out. No matter what you're in, he'll always give you an escape route if you're sensitive to it and you choose it. And so it's upon you and I to recognize that. Verse 28 and through 31, we see that our good friend Peter, he speaks up very bold. Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to the water. And I go in, come out, I'm going to walk with you. Whew, Peter's faith in Jesus was remarkable, wasn't it? And I like challenging fellow Christians with taking a step of faith. Too many of us don't do anything. We're just happy we're going to make it to heaven, and we're comfortable with that. I call that remote control Christianity. You don't share your testimony. You don't get into ministry. You know, you pray a little bit. When you kick your toe, oh, God, help me. You know, you do all that stuff. But I love Peter because he stepped out in faith. And that's a challenge for me and hopefully for you as we read the text. Peter appeared to be walking on water as long as he kept his focus on Christ. And yet the storm was going on. The storm wasn't calm. He tells, Lord, Jesus has come. And he's walking. He's walking on the water, the text tells us, towards Jesus. So encouraging for me. We must keep our focus on God despite all the pressures and trials of this life. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? We must focus on Christ no matter what life throws at us. Do you know this? God made the human eye to focus only on one thing. As a police officer, I went to the range a lot. I used to work at the shooting range. And when you focus on the front sight, there's certain aspects of the front sight you focus on. The rest is peripheral. But you zoom in on one thing and you can hit your target. And that takes practice. But our human eye can only focus on one thing. When we're trying to focus on everything, guess what? We get sucked in and we go right down the drain. If we're going to focus on one thing, loved ones, let me suggest this to you. Focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. As we sang worship, so beautiful. He is able. He is able. And he loves us. I love that worship we just did. And when we focus on Christ, we see people looking at us like the Bible calls us, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. They go, man, what's wrong with that brother? He should be like going off already. You know, not that I don't. But people tend to look at us and want what we have. And what is that? The love of Christ. We want to share the good news. And I look at Peter, and he steps out in the midst of this storm, and he's focusing on Christ, and wow, he's walking, walking. And all of us have the ability, in any situation in our lives, to either sink or walk. All of us have that capability. It's a duality of it. We can either sink under it, or we walk through it with God at our side. The choice is always us. God never forces his way into anything in our lives. And so what an encouragement as Peter is walking towards the Lord, focuses on Christ, and he's walking, walking, and he's focusing on the Lord of the and the master of the wind and the sea and the waves, and he's able to walk. And then he takes his eyes off. And what happens? Sinking. Sinking quickly. Quickly, like you and I would sink. I try to walk on water every time I surf North Shore in the winter, you know, and I eat it. And I'm like, yeah, I can't. No can't. I get just plunged. I walk on the reef, on the bottom for a little bit, you know, kind of deal. But I like this about Peter, because if Peter was to say this as he was sinking, Lord, I know you're all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, Lord, he'd be on the bottom. But he says the shortest powerful prayer, Lord, save me. Yeah, he didn't waste time with the theological things. He just said, Lord, save me. Isn't that cool? That's the kind of prayer I want. Short, but strong. That's real prayer. Prayer warrior right here. Short and sweet. And it's amazing, amazing how the Lord, the Bible says, immediately grabbed onto his arm, pulled him up. Now, the Bible does not tell us this. Pull them up on the water and they were automatically in the boat. How did they get in the boat? They went walking. The Lord grabs his arm, walks them. Probably, I don't know, help out. Pete, you okay? Watch that step on the wave right there. And into the boat. I don't know how it went down, but I probably would have been blown away. I went, whoo, cuz you can do that again. Hanaho, let's do it again, you know, kind of deal, right? But Peter grabs hold of Christ, and Christ does miraculous things with Peter despite his doubt. Now, is that not encouraging? Christ does miraculous things with you and I despite who we are. Thank you, Lord. I really dig that about my Lord. I really do. I appreciate it very much because I'm a big knucklehead. It's amazing how God can work great things with us, yet we still falter in little things. The Bible always and constantly tries to teach and encourages us that God is strong in the midst of our weakness.